David Lair is Vice President, Advanced Engineering in NAB's Technology Department, having been with the NAB since 1995, and has been very active in the radio technology and standards setting area. He is NAB's principal administrator on its Radio Technology Committee and represents the NAB on the National Radio Systems Committee. David provides technical expertise to NAB's government relations and legal departments on regulatory and legislative matters which pertain to the broadcast industry. He is actively involved in NAB's technical conference planning and technical publication activities and has authored numerous technical publications. David is a senior member of the IEEE, an associate member of the Association of Federal Communications Consulting Engineers, and has won many technical awards. Ladies and gentlemen, David Lair.
Ken, thanks very much. Thanks for having me, Leonard and Linda and everybody on the committee. It's my first time here. I'm a little embarrassed to say that because this is a very well-known event in the industry, and I'm glad that I'm finally able to join you. Don was a great setup for what I want to talk about. In fact, I think because of some of the slides that Don showed you, I may be able to go through this a little quicker. And of course, I'm very much aware of the fact that as soon as I'm done, it's lunchtime. So that's I'll try and not make us late for lunch. So I'm here to talk about what NAB is doing in the auto and the digital dashboard. And I thought a great way to start. And maybe some of you are already aware of this, but the Tesla Model 3 is just now rolling off the assembly line and people are taking delivery. And it turns out, and this is, talk about your digital dashboard. This image of the dash of the Tesla 3 is really, I think, pretty amazing. There's no speedometer. There's no tachometer. There are no idiot lights. The entire display, the entire dashboard display is that flat screen monitor, and I think it's 15-inch monitor. I'm not entirely sure about that. But anyway, and I'm going to go through a couple screenshots of that. Apparently, the Tesla Model 3 is shipping without a radio enabled at all. So, you know, this is as connected cars become more and more prevalent and mobile broadband becomes more and more pervasive. Of course, this has been one of the concerns of broadcasters in particular is that maybe, you know, some car maker at some point in the future would just decide they didn't need a radio. Well, apparently that day came a lot sooner than we expected because Tesla is shipping the Model 3 without FM radio enabled. It turns out that FM is in the vehicle, not AM. They are keeping AM out, and apparently, you know, in some of these electric vehicles, they're saying the motor noise makes AM listening experience unsatisfactory, so they're not including it. But the Model 3 has FM in it, and in a future software update, they are going to enable FM in the vehicle. But the vehicles that people are taking delivery on now don't have it. So here's the digital display. This is the display for the vehicle. And you can see, you know, that's for changing your lights and that sort of thing. There's a little button here with a musical notes. That's what you tap to get to the display for music. And in the Tesla 3, there's only two options. There's what they call streaming, and the scuttlebutt is that Tesla is going to get into the streaming audio business, and they are going to sell a subscription for streaming audio for their vehicles. So, and this is very reminiscent of what's happening with Apple. And the conventional wisdom is Apple doesn't want FM in iPhones because they want people to buy Apple Music. So it looks like maybe Tesla's doing the same thing. The other option they have in the Tesla 3 is TuneIn, and TuneIn is an aggregator of streaming content, and a lot of over-the-air radio stations are on TuneIn. And if you search for 94.7, I captured these screens off of a video that's online. If you search 94.7, you get a bunch of stations that show up, and these are stations that are streaming on the internet. And so if you want to listen to an FM radio station in your Tesla 3 today, you can do that, but only if they're on the TuneIn platform and they're streaming their audio. So, and this is a point that I make throughout this presentation, is, and I think Don was saying something similar, is broadcasters really need to be on every platform because people are listening on lots of different platforms these days. So the whole reason this can happen is because of mobile broadband. Mobile broadband is providing for streaming audio in our smartphones and our cars. And it is a challenge because there's a lot more competition, but it's also an opportunity, and that's because of new devices, which we call hybrid radios. And in the context of my presentation this morning, a hybrid radio is a device that gets over-the-air reception and is also connected to the internet. So you can have, like, Next Radio is really the best example of an app for a smartphone where the audio is coming in over the air, but all that extra stuff, the album art and the interactivity, the enhanced advertising opportunities, all that's coming in over the internet. And that's the kind of opportunity that broadcasters have with hybrid radio. So that's a good thing. NAB has been really digging into this, the whole automotive space, and talking to car makers, talking to tier one equipment makers, the companies that make the head units. I've gone to a couple of auto trade shows this year. I'm going to have some slides about that in a minute. And the auto industry, you know, we're NAB's take on auto right now is more about entertainment, making sure radio stays prominent, and that sort of thing. But auto people are just all about autonomy right now. And it's really amazing what's happening, and it's going to be here before we know it. And I'm not really here today to talk about the impact of autonomy on radio listening, but it's going to be profound because now people don't have to drive. They can watch a movie or they can, do work on their laptops, that sort of thing. So, it's really important that we're well established in connected cars now because once they go autonomous, it's just going to get worse for radio. And the other thing that's really big is car sharing. You know, the prediction is that the automakers are going to sell fewer cars in the future. And it's partly because of people being willing to share cars. You don't have to own a car anymore. You can just share it. You can use Zipcar. General Motors has something now called Maven. And you can Google Maven. It's a car sharing platform. So it's very likely in the future we may be using shared cars. And in that environment, we think that the key is having something in your smartphone so that when you get into a shared car, it finds out. You can, your preferences are transferred from your smartphone into the vehicle. So your presets on the radio are enabled without you having to go to any trouble, or the seat adjusts, other things like that in the car. So so these are all things that are changing in the car, and radio is changing, and I've already touched on that. The idea of the hybrid radio, this is a platform that, used to be Ibiquiti, then it was DTS, now they call themselves Xperi. They're the digital radio company that brought us HD Radio. They're focusing now on what they call connected radio, which is a radio product that includes digital, and it could be HD if you're in the U.S., or it could be DAB if you're in Europe, and it includes the hybrid content that you can get over mobile broadband. So Next Radio, of course, is hybrid. We know about that. This is kind of a quick breaking news thing. I'm just going to scroll through quickly, but in Europe, Audi has introduced a car. It's the A8, which is a very high-end vehicle, but it has a hybrid radio capability built into the car, and I believe this is the first example of a car that has a built-in hybrid radio. And this is only going to be available in Europe for now, but it's very likely that this will make its way over to models that are being sold in the U.S. The main feature that I just want to highlight is that in this radio, it will switch between a over-the-air version of the signal and a streaming version of the signal. So if you're driving around in an area where you can get your radio station, that's great. But if you drive out of the area, it will switch to a streaming version if it's available. So, and this is basically, Don mentioned a minute ago about Next Radio and how their app is now supporting streaming. And I don't believe the Next Radio app does a, you know, seamless switching or an automatic switching between radio and streaming. I've used the app, and I think it's more of a manual process. If you were listening to it on the radio and it went away, you'd have to go in and say, okay, I'll listen to this as a streaming signal. But this Audi, it's pretty amazing radio, really, that it does all of this. So hybrid radio is certainly very important for the future. The other aspect of radio that we recognize as important is the globalness. And this isn't just true, of course, with car radios. This is true, like our smartphones are a very good example of how these types of products, manufacturers want to make a product that they can sell all around the world. And this is something that, you know, as we talk to automakers and we work with Xperi and Next Radio and other companies, we recognize that we need to have kind of that global viewpoint. And just a couple of quick points here, factoids almost, about broadband. Don talked a little bit about broadband. Again, broadband is a challenge and an opportunity. And it's not just impacting radio either. It's something that impacts television viewing, as many of you know. This is just a fairly recent result of a survey showing that, you know, radio and television listening and viewership are staying pretty constant. Radio's actually growing, but not nearly as much as the streaming, audio streaming is growing on smartphones. So, you know, this is something that everybody recognizes, is that smartphones and streaming are big competitors to radio. Don was asking a minute ago about smartphone ownership. According to this survey, the estimate is this year there'll be 226 million smartphones. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's just about I'm sure everybody in this room, or, you know, maybe one or two people don't, but I would be willing to bet most of everyone in this room has a smartphone. And similarly, on the television side, people are buying smart TVs now, and you're seeing cord cutting. You know, the cable companies are losing subscribers every year now. And this is, again, just because of the impact of broadband. So I'm going to spend the next half hour talking about digital dashboards. I'm going to show you some more screenshots of radios, kind of like Don was doing. I'm going to hit upon some of the same points, really. I think Don's message about metadata is right on. And this is something that NAB is talking about a lot with radio broadcasters. And you'll see here later on, I've got some slides about an audit we did in three markets, Grand Rapids, Philadelphia, and Charlotte. And we actually compiled some statistics on, you know, who's got a good digital display and who doesn't. And we came out with a list of best practices that we are trying to socialize now among the broadcast industry so we can try and help broadcasters, you know, build a more consistent user experience. So just very briefly, I know some of you people in the room, but I see a lot of faces that are unfamiliar. I just wanted to say a word about NAB. I work in the technology department. I'm an engineer. Right now, of course, we're most famous, I suppose, for our trade shows, and especially the NAB show in April. And our technology department is involved in those. We help do the technical program planning. There's a part in the exhibit hall called Futures Park, where we try and showcase new technology. We are responsible for that. And we're involved in other shows. Mostly what I've been working on lately is this auto initiative, where we're trying to learn more about how car makers decide what their radios look like. And I was just in Charlotte, North Carolina last week talking to some car dealers about the car delivery experience and what do consumers think about car radios. So we're really trying to look at that from every angle. Here's a picture of our department. Sam Athene is our CTO. He's a great speaker. Maybe you've come across him, or if you go to an event where Sam is speaking, I'd encourage you to check it out, because he usually does a really good job. So I'm now in my 22nd year at NAB. One of the other things I do besides the Auto Initiative these days is I work with our Radio Technology Committee. That's a group of technical executives from NAB member companies. Kent is one of the members of our committee. So we meet regularly. We talk about technology issues. We bring to our committee questions about regulatory matters and get advice from our committee members on what NAB should be doing there. So, and I get to come to state meetings. I love that. It's one of the best things that I do. It's a great job. I enjoy working for NAB. So let me just get to some of my digital dashboard slides. I went to the auto show in Detroit in January, which was pretty cool. I'd never done that before. I spent we were there to look at technology exhibits and to just start learning more about the digital dashboard. And one of the things that I did is I took a survey of the vehicles that were on display at the auto show, and I looked at the radios. And I wanted to see, what did they look like? Was there a button? Because one of the complaints we hear from consumers is, I don't know how to turn my radio on. There used to be a button that said radio, and it was a lot easier, you know, before. So I went around and I looked at 41 vehicles. It took me like a day and a half. For most, I hit most of the brands. Toyota was the exception that stands out, and it's because they didn't have their radios turned on in the showroom floor, so I couldn't do anything with them. When I was done and I compiled the results of my survey, I found a couple of cool things. They all had AM and FM except for the BMW i3, an electric car. They took the AM out of that. 90% of them had a volume knob. Of course, that means 10% of them did not. So again, it gets to kind of how hard or easy is it to use. 78% had HD radio, which I thought was a pretty high percentage. 27% of these cars did not have a button which said radio or audio or band, and that was interesting. It just speaks to how it's more difficult to use the radio in the car now. I wanted to just show you a couple that I thought stood out for one reason or another. This is a picture of the display in the Volvo. It's kind of like a little reminiscent of the Tesla in that it's got a big screen, not quite as big as the Tesla, and it still has the normal, the kind of the traditional elements on the dash. But it was a nice display. The thing that I noticed the most about the Volvo is I've circled the icons for AM and FM on this display, and it turns out that you can move them. Here, I did that. Just sitting in the car, I was able to take the AM icon and move it to a different part on the screen. Now, of course, the concern there is this also means you can move them off the display completely. So, you know, imagine a situation where someone gets their car, they don't listen to the radio, or maybe somebody pays Volvo to move the icons to a different spot, you know. So this is something I thought to look out for. Here's a Hyundai Sonata display. I've circled on the bottom there that it did have a radio button. It had something called SoundHound, which is kind of like Shazam. It's one of these fingerprinting technologies where it listens to a song and it can figure out what the song is. So imagine you're listening to a station that doesn't have metadata and you're hearing a song, you're wondering what it is. You can hit that SoundHound button and it listens, because this car actually has built-in broadband. And it comes back and it tells you what the song was and you know, lyrics and all. And this is, I call this a variation on hybrid radio, because it's using mobile broadband. But the concern here is, this is, the broadcaster has kind of lost control of that experience, because now if the listener decides they want to buy this song or do some other thing as a result of learning this, the broadcaster is completely out of the picture. They're dealing with SoundHound now. And to contrast, contrast that with a technology like NextRadio, where the broadcaster is providing all of that extra content, the pictures for the album art, the metadata, and any sales opportunities or enhanced advertising, that's all tied into what the broadcaster is doing. So the broadcaster is in control of that experience, and the broadcaster hopefully will profit from that experience. So the SoundHound example in the Hyundai, I thought that was a little concerning because it's just taking control away from what the broadcaster does. So I'm going to just kind of skip through this real fast. This Audi had a really nice radio. They have a radio button, but it's down on the console. So this is quite different from a traditional radio layout. And I'm just going to flash through some of the screens here. If you click on the radio, you get to see the different bands that are available. These are some of the settings for the radio. You can turn the HD feature on or off. You can decide whether you want to see cover art or a station logo. And then this is what the station list looks like for your presets. So it's a very non-traditional, but very, you know, I think good imagining of radio. And you know, there's a lot of information, a very digital display. And here, this radio had an artist experience capability. So that image came in through an HD radio transmission. So those are the only ones I just wanted to show you. But it's clearly, and we even saw this, what Don was just showing the two cars, and just the two were different, but every car is different. And people talk about how wouldn't it be great if this could be standardized. But the fact of the matter is, this is a differentiation point for the automaker. The automakers don't want to standardize this. They want the particular implementation that they have to be a selling feature. This is why people bought the Cadillac or the Audi, is because they really liked how their radio was done. So I don't think it's practical to imagine that we're going to see auto radios get some sort of standardization. So this is also another point that Don made, and I think everybody who talks about this needs to make this point. You need to provide the metadata. You need to have a more consistent user experience. But you know, people, broadcasters, see all this new technology and all this new competition in the vehicle, and I think they'd like to think there's a technological fix for that, and the engineers can go in and do something to the radio, or you know, somehow the technology can be changed so that broadcasting isn't threatened, say. But it's really about the content, and this is what, if there's something people want to listen to, then they're going to find it. So that's really one of the messages that we have. So we're talking about what car dealers or what car makers are putting in cars. I want to just talk for a minute about how our smartphones are moving into the cars as well. I'm sure some of you have heard of CarPlay or Android Auto if you've gotten a new car. Or the rental cars. You know, I have only used these services in rental cars, so because my car isn't new enough to have that. But these are what we call projection technologies, because what happens is when you're in a car with CarPlay and you have an iPhone, then you can project some of the apps that are in your phone into the vehicle. And here are just some pictures. The one on the right is the CarPlay. And you see the display there, it looks a lot like an iPhone. And these apps are in the phone, they're not on the device. No, they're not in the car, excuse me. But you access them through the car's user interface. And one of the things you'll notice here is that any customization that the car manufacturer might have done to their dashboard experience is gone. It just looks like an iPhone now. And in fact, the car companies aren't sure they like this. Some of them certainly don't. I think Toyota is not supporting CarPlay and Android Auto because they don't want to lose control of the dash. But the problem is people love their smartphones. So customers are getting, you know, there's a lot of positive feedback about having the ability to do this. So, you know, this is something that's kind of playing out right now, but I can tell you that most cars do support CarPlay and Android Auto, and it's not likely to go away anytime soon. So that's one way of using apps in a vehicle, is this projection technology. The other possibility is what's called embedded technology, and that's when the apps are actually built into the vehicle. And here's an example of a GM MyLink display, and I've circled Pandora there on the display. That Pandora app is actually built into the vehicle. It comes with the vehicle. You don't need a smartphone to use it. You might need a smartphone to provide a data connection. If the car doesn't have a built-in broadband, a mobile broadband connection, then in order for that Pandora app that's built into the car to work, it might have to pair with your smartphone, and then it uses your data from your phone to drive that app. But that's the kind of the theory behind the embedded technology, and there are some pretty big downsides to having embedded apps, and one of the biggest is that they're hard to change, and app technology changes pretty rapidly. And you can imagine a streaming service that's popular today not being as popular in the future. But it's hard to get it out of the car. And if it's not supported anymore, then you've got this app on your dashboard that doesn't even work. So this is one reason projected technology is, one of the strengths really of the projected technology is as the apps change, they're in your phone, so it's kind of the protocol of communicating between the phone and the car is what's built into the vehicle, and all the changes in the apps can be, you know, brought forward as you know time moves forward. So there's another projection technology. It's called Smart Device Link. This is a technology that was developed by Ford, but has now been embraced by other automakers as well. And it allows an automaker to preserve their look and feel on the dash, but it still provides this ability to take apps from your phone and move them into the vehicle, and with you know the benefits of doing the projection technology that I just talked about. And I'm just going to show you one of the ways NAB is trying to become more involved with automakers and learn more about the digital dash is we've been participating in these hackathons that the car manufacturers put on. And just a couple weeks ago, I was in San Francisco at a hackathon for SDL technology, and we developed an app. It was called the Pilot Radio Guide. And Pilot is this technology initiative that NAB has now. And what these next few slides are from the presentation I made at the hackathon where there was a panel of judges. And I'm sorry to say we didn't win, but I think we were robbed. We had a great app. So this was the presentation I gave to the judges and the other hackathon participants to explain our app to those folks. I only had like 5 minutes to do it, so it's pretty brief. I just wanted to take you through that. So I talked to this group about who we were, Team Pilot, as we call ourselves, and it's me and it's some app programmers that we work with that are based out of Annapolis, Maryland. And here's a picture of us. And it's some, you know, young programmers, and one of the CTO of OpenPath is Richard Smith, and I'm there to kind of just, you know, tell them whether I like the app they've built or not, or maybe give them some insight into the radio aspects of our app. Now, unfortunately, right now, this SDL technology does not allow you to control the tuner in the vehicle. So we can build an app, but we can't build an app that is going to change the station or do something to the radio. That's going to change. It's kind of an evolution. This is on the roadmap to this technology. They told us that next year's hackathon, we'll be able to do an app that we can control the tuner with. But what we did was we built a radio guide, and it's based upon genre and the location of the vehicle, because, of course, one thing a vehicle knows is where it is. And so I told, just like I mentioned to this group here, I talked a little bit to the people at the hackathon what hybrid radio is. If SDL were to allow the access to the tuner, we could very easily turn what I'm going to show you here into a hybrid radio project. So this is the picture of the smartphone. That circle there, that was the icon for the radio guide app. So you run it on your smartphone, and you pre-select the genres that you like. So all the green checkboxes are the genres that you like. Then when you pair your phone to the vehicle, the screen changes, and this is so you know that you're connected to the car now. And you can still use your phone. You could go back and make a phone call or whatever, but if you just don't do anything else to your phone, it looks like that. And then once you've paired it, this is what you see on the display of the vehicle, and there's the icon for our radio guide that we developed. And when you start the app, there's going to be three screens here that show the various genres that you like. The numbers there, those are the number of stations in your area where you happen to be that have that genre. And we know this because we created a database. We just created a small database for the San Francisco area for the purpose of the hackathon, but we're actually developing a nationwide database. So this radio guide app could be used, you know, anywhere that you would happen to be. And there were three pages of different genres. And I'll just mention, too, the look of this app is the SDL programming is done using templates. So you can choose from various templates to build your app, and this is how the manufacturer keeps them safe, because driver distraction is a big issue. And there's that look and feel issue where they want it to still look like a Ford, you know, screen. So the template is designed to preserve that. Once you pick a genre, then you see there's icons for each of the stations that are in that genre. So you pick the station you want, and you see a screen like this, which shows a station logo. And it turns out this vehicle had voice command ability. So we have the words here, say tune to 105.3. So after you're done using the radio guide, then you talk to your car and you say tune to 105.3, and it tunes to 105.3. So we kind of got around the fact that we couldn't just tap that icon and tune to the station. We had to say it, and then the car did that. But as I mentioned, in the future, we could build this app, and you just tap on it, and it would tune to that station. So that's the kind of thing that we learn a lot about how these apps work. This is, I think, a very useful exercise because it gets us in front of the car makers. We're talking to them, seeing what they're interested in. I think one of the biggest contributions we're going to be able to make here is, since we're trying to develop these radio apps, we're finding out that the commands that they have for programming these apps don't work as well for radio as they might. So we're going to go in there and we're going to try and do things, and we're going to tell them, hey, this command needs to be fixed, and we need a new command here so we can bring the RDS information that's in the tuner onto the display of our app, and that sort of thing. And we did two other apps this year. These were for the General Motors. It's called the Next Generation Infotainment System, and this is an embedded technology. These are apps. This is all just prototype stuff. This isn't, you know, we're not building apps for production here. But again, we're just kind of really, we're connecting with the car maker. We're letting the app developer community know that, hey, you could be doing radio apps too, instead of apps that show, you know, cat videos when you're stuck in traffic. Someone really did that. And it's like, come on, guys, let's do a good radio app. So we've talked about what the displays look like now. We've talked about the projected and embedded app technology. The one other technology I wanted to talk about for the digital dashboard is a technology that you have right now in your home, or you may have. It's the Amazon Echo and Alexa. And I have a video here, so we'll go ahead and try. I'm going to go ahead and run this video, and let's see if the sound works.
Alexa, ask my Ford Mobile to start my car with pin 2376.
Sending start command to your car.
Alexa.
Alexa.
What was the score last night for the Detroit game?
Last night, Detroit beat Tampa Bay 5-2-3.
Map me to the nearest coffee shop.
Getting directions to eat and roast.
Play the audiobook I was just listening to at home.
Getting your book from Audible. Resuming the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Close the garage door.
Okay.
Turn on the porch lights.
Okay.
Add laundry detergent to the cart.
All right, I've added laundry detergent to your cart.
What's the distance to the moon?
The moon's distance is 239,000 miles.
Thanks, Dad.
So you could see a lot of the, you know, this was a, I think I went the wrong way. Nope, I'm sorry. So that was a Ford. The SDL app that I talked about, the pilot radio guide, that was Ford. You could see that kind of that same look and feel. But I think that's an amazing video because of all the, you know, people used to get in their car and listen to the radio. And now, you know, when these Ford owners are starting to use Alexa, they're listening to their audiobooks and they're, you know, doing all kinds of things in the car. So this just is an example of where, you know, the dashboard is heading. And again, if you fast forward to when you have autonomous vehicles, you know, it's just going to, it'll be Alexa, please, you know, put on that movie I was watching at home instead of that audiobook I was listening to. And this is, I just pulled, this is all pretty recent data. You may have seen this in the trade press in the last day or two. You know, according to this data, 19% of people 35 to 39 now have Echo devices. And this was even more recent. I just saw this yesterday. You know, it looks like FM and AM radio is something that people are listening to a lot on Alexa. So you can imagine somebody using Alexa to say, turn on, you know, 94.7. And it's going to be kind of like that Tesla experience I was talking about where they don't need the radio anymore. They're using their mobile broadband. So that's kind of my tour through dashboard technology. And this last piece of my presentation here, I want to just talk a little bit about what NAB's doing. We're doing things in two main areas. We're looking at near-term issues, which really Don's presentation just before mine really gets to the heart of that. That's saying, what are people using now, and how can we make sure we're making the best use of what people have? And then more long-term, and this goes more to like the app development and our developing relationships with automakers. We want to influence how radio looks in cars in the future, and we want to make sure that radio stays preeminent in the car. So as far as the near-term stuff, I mentioned we did an audit in Philly, Grand Rapids, and Charlotte. And we created a report. This report was released at the radio show in Austin a couple weeks ago. And it talks about this audit that we did. It talks about a lot of the things that Don was talking about as far as what are the technologies in the vehicle that allow you to support metadata. And then we have a lot of best practices. We have suggestions for broadcasters that they can follow to improve their use of the digital dash. And if you go to the NAB webpage, it's just www.nab.org, and there's an innovation menu item at the top of the page. If you click on that, one of the items is digital dashboard, and this is the page you'll see. And you can download the report. It's a 23-page report, just came out. And you can also download this 2-page best practices. And this is, I know it's impossible to read from where you are, but this is what it looks like. I did zoom in on it here. We talked to people, again, some of the stuff that Don was talking about. We tell people, you know, we start pretty basic. If you're not doing RDS, you should be doing RDS. Get an RDS encoder. One of the things we're suggesting is that they put some sort of monitor device in the on-air studio so that the on-air talent and the people who are in the station can see what their stations look like on vehicles, because a lot of these, this just doesn't happen. Again, it's, you know, it's a 2-page thing. There's suggestions for the programming department and for the engineering department, because this isn't just about what the engineer does. It's got to be the station has to make an investment in improving this, the performance of their station. So more long-term, we're trying to develop, and we've hired some consultants, and as I mentioned, we're doing a lot of outreach with automakers and tier one equipment makers. They're the folks who build, like the radios that are in your car aren't built by Ford. They're built by Panasonic or Harman, or, you know, which is now owned by Samsung. And they just have, you know, software that makes them look like whatever manufacturer's car that they're in. Xperi, which is the former Ibiquity, Next Radio. These folks are all really interested in bringing hybrid radio to vehicles, and we're talking to them about that. You know, we're participating in hackathons. I just got some more money to do more hackathon work this year through our pilot initiative. And the other thing that we're talking about, again, this is a little more long-term, but with this autonomous vehicle infrastructure now being developed, there are a lot of data requirements. Cars need data. Cars are talking to one another. Now, it turns out, among all of the various things that are needed in this autonomous infrastructure, there are data requirements that could be served very nicely by digital radio. They're not the high bit rate needs, but they're lower bit rate needs that need a very robust and good coverage signal. And so we're thinking about that. We're thinking of ways to make the radio more valuable to the autonomous digital car of the future, because radio is a great service. And we think that's something that will help broadcasters, and it will also help consumers. We were recently at the Mobile World Congress Americas. That's where this hackathon that I was showing you slides from took place. And we had a panel of people talking about this idea of a Radio 2.0 development project. This is really, there's not a lot of meat to this yet, but we're just kind of letting people know that this is what we're thinking about at NAB. We're trying to come up with strategies to make sure that, you know, radio stays preeminent in the vehicle. So this is my short list. I'm wrapping up here. These are all things that we heard Don say in the last presentation, and I'm just going to emphasize them. Do what you can do today. It's important to support multiple platforms. One thing I didn't say about CarPlay and Android Auto is when somebody is using, I'll use CarPlay as the example, when you have turned on the CarPlay feature, you can no longer get to the radio tuner on the display. So it kind of locks out the tuner. You have to stop using CarPlay in order to get back to the radio tuner. So, and this is something, of course, broadcasters hate that, right? And we had a Ford vehicle on the show floor at the radio show that was demonstrating CarPlay, and we took some of our radio board members, and we sat them in the vehicle, and we showed them how it works, and we started CarPlay, and we said, okay, so now change back to the radio. And they couldn't do it, because it's not trivial. So this is all by way of saying, you know, if you have a streaming version of your radio signal, and it's in an app that is allowed to work on CarPlay, well, then that's really the route you need to take to make your station's programming accessible in a CarPlay-enabled vehicle. So it's pretty complicated, and you know, broadcasters need to be, you know, thinking about all those different angles. So there's all these competing services, and people worry about Pandora's going to take over, or, you know, SiriusXM has never really taken over. They have about 10% of the listeners, I think, of terrestrial radio. But radio is a special service, and it always comes back to localism. We've heard a lot about this in the last couple weeks, especially with all the hurricanes. It's the most efficient way to deliver content. I mean, there's no arguing that. Broadcasters are great people. I've never actually worked for a broadcast company, but one of the coolest parts about working for NAB is I get to work with all you broadcasters, and you're a great group, and you're dedicated to what you do, and you're dedicated to serving your communities. And these are all things that, you know, this Pandora does not have that. You know, Spotify does not have that. And these are things that make radio special. And I think these are the reasons that radio is going to continue to prevail and be the go-to source for information. And it's not a technological thing. It's not something that the engineers are simply going to, you know, wave a magic wand or make some change in the car that's going to, you know, make them stand out. It's really about the content. So that's all I had to say. If we have time for questions, I'd be happy to answer any questions. But thanks a lot for listening to me.
Okay. Actually, David, we're running up against lunch, so we're going to... It's a fascinating presentation. I'm sure there's 100 questions.
Well, I'll be here for lunch, so please, you know, seek me out.
Very good. Thank you very much.